A couple reminders of changes to our schedule. One is no evening services tonight. And the other is the teen event that was to be tonight at the Thompsons has been moved to Thursday. Is that correct? Thursday evening. So young people, teenagers, remember that. This is one of the last two Sundays of the year. 2016 is just about finished. And so I want to just mention a couple things. Looking back on this year, we had 12 baptisms over the course of the year. We had 11 new members. Those placed membership. We've had two weddings. We have had 6 new babies. We've had 4 new deacons. We've had 4 of our members who passed away this year. Cecil and Dorothy, Jim Dobbs, and Monty Huddleston. That information and more information will be in the bulletin next week. But it's interesting to look back over the year, this past year. We need to remember what our goal was this year, what our theme was. Our goal and our theme was one body united. Our goal was to be more unified. Our goal was to see more of the good in each other and overlook more of our shortcomings. And so today we're going to continue on our series with gifts. Today we're going to talk about the gift of togetherness, the gift of being together. It's a part of what being unified is, just being together, one body. And our scripture reading this morning, Psalm 133, talks about this. It's a short psalm, but it speaks about unity, and it says, "Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity." If you've ever been a part of a church that did not have unity, you know what this means in a special way. But even though it is great to have unity, for brothers and sisters in Christ to be one, it is like precious oil on the head running down on the beard, on the beard of Aaron. This would be referencing to the Jews. This would reference their first high priest. And so this would be a picture of an anointing. This oil that would run down, it would have an aroma to it. It would be a pleasing odor to all who were there to witness it. This would be a beautiful ceremony, a beautiful time. It's a pleasant thing. And to God, when Christians dwell in unity, it's a beautiful thing. We're reminded that time together is a gift. It is a gift for a family around holiday time. I remember, you know, thinking of this psalm and the oil. I remember going to grandma's as a kid for Christmas time. Walk into grandma's house where the family would gather. The first thing you would smell would be the aroma of yeast rolls. And the first thing you would see would be the pies laying on top of the deep freeze that Grandma had baked the day before. Time together is a gift. And when a family is together in unity, it's beautiful. When you're not able to see someone, you realize how much of a gift that time is. Elizabeth had a car accident recently. She was out with her two sisters, and the three daughters were out, which they haven't done very often. I don't really remember, but they were having a girls' night out and going shopping. So I get a call a little bit before 9 o'clock. They were supposed to be home by 9. That was the plan, and I get a call, and as soon as I see that it's Liz, my first thought is, well, here comes the excuse for why we're running late. I'm just kind of preparing myself for it. But it was that they had had an accident. They were all okay. And would we come to where they were? So they were on 41st Street, and Stephanie and I hopped in the car and raced over. We could see on the horizon of about the second hill down 41st, the light. This is at night, so we see all the emergency lights flashing. That's not a good thing to see. But it's going to be there. And as fate would have it, We just get behind the fire truck as it's leaving the station here, so we have to follow the fire truck to the scene. We can't really go as fast as we'd like to go. You don't want to pass. I don't think it's good to pass a fire truck. I haven't checked on that, but I felt like it was a bad idea. So we follow the fire truck. We get to the scene, and Stephanie makes me let her out. I otherwise would not have, but she made me let her out and crosses four lanes of traffic to get to her girls, yelling something along the lines of, "Those are my girls." As a dad, I'm going to pull over and park, and I try to stay calm anyway. It's my nature. You don't want to get between a mother and her children. So we go, and the first thing I do is hug all three of them. And they're fine. And since that time, I've hugged them more. Because some things in life, when they happen, they remind us of how precious time is. And time together. Our family got together at Mom and Dad's for Christmas a couple days ago. Those are special times. When your family's together, but typically not everyone's there. Someone's not able to come for this or that reason. And when our earthly family members are not with us at a gathering, we miss them, don't we? So a big part of today's message is when our spiritual family is together, when the church is together, those that are not able to be here, we miss them. Today is more absent than normal because of the weather. We miss them. A lot of them, I know, are watching our broadcast through our website. So wave to the camera. It's over here now. Wave to the back. We love them and they love us. And they're not able to be here this morning, but their hearts are here and our hearts are with them, because that is what a family is. Togetherness is a gift. I want to look at just a couple reasons. Togetherness is the gift that we're talking about today. And it's a gift because togetherness strengthens us. Sometimes church members will, think about those who go more than they go, those who attend and participate more than they do. They may look at the Wednesday night crowd or the Sunday night crowd, and they may have a general assumption that, well, those are those are stronger Christians. And therefore they go. And I think the reality is they go, and that's why they're stronger. They go because they need to go. The more mature you get in Christ, the more you realize you need this. You need each other. You need the time together. Hebrews is this great passage that it answers this question, the age-old question. We hear it more and more now. People love God. They love Jesus. They don't love church. They don't love organized religion. Those two words have a bad stigma. And people will ask or state that you don't have to go to church, is the phrase, to please God. Scripture answers this for it. God says, "I want you together." Scripture says, "Let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, not forsaking the assembly, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." God expects us to be here because He knows we need to be here. He knows it strengthens us to be here. And it's a gift. We gain strength from each other. 1 Corinthians 12:26 says, "If one member suffers, all suffer." This past week, we've had a few members struggling. Susan Holland, with having recent foot surgery, been in the hospital for some concerns of passing out. Laura Carter has had some dental surgeries scheduled, and then they're postponed, and that we're concerned for her. Pam Brott has been, Pam had a surgery, and as a result, they accidentally nicked her colon in three places. And so she was septic. She came out of surgery okay, but very, very soon in ICU on a ventilator, induced coma. And that was for 3 days. She's doing a little better. The message that we receive now from the daughters is they're able to talk to her. So she's out of her coma. She is improving. They're able to speak to her. And they talk about, they're so thankful for the prayers. And they mention what a gift it is when you go 3 days watching your mother in ICU and you can't talk to her. And then you do. Many of us have been, I've been checking Facebook like never before. Because that's my line of connection to how is this sister doing? How's Pam doing? I mean, it's a bad situation. It's better, but it's still, we need to pray. When one member suffers, we all suffer, right? We care. Our hearts are heavy. When one member is honored, we all rejoice. We rejoice. We've had a couple, two different couples' weddings this month, marriages. Liz and Colby are on a flight to Jamaica now. We celebrate, don't we? When good things are happening in people's lives. We're a family. 1 Corinthians is a little scripture here about, this gives a glimpse into a smaller church in the first century. A smaller church in the first century. Paul says, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. In other words, they came together, but they brought different things that they would do. They had organization. They were not as organized as we are, the way we do church. But they had a plan of how they would come and conduct their service. Different ones would do different things. But look at the last statement. Let all things be done for building up. If you ever hear someone say, or if you ever think, and you're about to say the words that go something like this. When we get together, it's not about what we want. We're here for God, and that's all that matters. That's a false statement. To say, when we get together, it's not about what helps me or helps you. We're here to worship God, and that's it. That's a false statement. Paul says, when you get together, you're worshiping God, you're honoring God, and that is primary. But he says, let everything be done to build up. God knows we need to be built up when we're here, doesn't he? And so some of the things we do in our planning and how we are able to do what we do here, some of the decisions are made because to answer the question, well, what would help us more? To build us up. We gain strength from being together. We gain strength from God. Scripture says where two or three are gathered, in my name, there I am among them. So God is here in a special way. If you feel connected to God in a unique way when you're here together in worship, you should. God, we don't worship and love God from afar. But God wants to be very near us. He put His Spirit in us. God wants closeness with us. And so it's a blessing to gain strength from God. Togetherness unites us. We have a passage here about the early church and how they were, how they functioned. How can we unite if we're not ever together? How can we be one body if we're not ever around each other? And when we read about the early church, notice them being together. Verse 44. All who believed were together, had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings, distributing the proceeds to all as any had need, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. They received their food with glad and generous hearts. They were together, day by day they were together. In the temple courts they were together in a large group like we are here. But they were also together in their homes. The temple together wasn't enough. We need more together. And they were together in their homes. If you've been at church one time and then 3 weeks later one time and maybe 4 weeks later one time, you should feel a little disconnected. We need more together, don't we? It's a blessing. It's a gift that we receive. It's also a gift that we give. So togetherness blesses others. Philippians 2, 1 through 4 says, Paul says, he says, if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind. So this is about Paul saying to the church to be unified, be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourself. Let each one of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Remember back when we looked at the Hebrews passage about not forsaking the assembly. Hebrews says to stir one another toward love and good deeds and encourage one another. When we come together, part of the gift is what we give. Part of the gift of togetherness is you encouraging someone else. It's you stirring up someone else. Because the truth is, you mean a lot to someone here. We don't all know each other exactly the same, true? And so our friendship, our connection, our relationship is not the same for all, however many would be here. 200, 250, 280, however many might be here on a given Sunday. But you mean a lot to someone. There should be two, three, or four, or five people, maybe one, that you are particularly close to. And being together is a gift because in those times, we can encourage each other, right? We can stir them up. We can push them on. We can lift them up. I could look around the room, and some I might not mention for fear that I might... believe it or not, a lot of people don't like the preacher calling them by name from the front. Can you believe that? Some people would be surprised you. But Tim and Kathy, when Alan and Sue are here, that means something. Because there's a closeness there. Mark and Anita, when Bob and Linda are here, when Kim's here, that you are able to encourage them in a special way because you have a closer connection. Does that make sense? And so part of the message today is for you to remember, when you're not able to be here, we miss you. The church family misses you. Someone misses you, that when you are here, you are a gift to them. You encourage them. I want to mention three groups of people that are an encouragement to the whole group. Our elderly members are an encouragement to all of us. Our elderly members, they are our wisdom. They are our connection to where we've been. We cherish our spiritual grandparents. I was talking to Johnny in Virginia early on, just getting here, and we were talking about how cold it was and what it was like years ago living on a farm and getting up early and going and watering the hogs and just the coldness of the times of years ago. I like talking to you older ones about that, who lived in a time before me. But you need to know, the older ones, you are special to us. And when you're here, we may not even talk, but seeing you encourages us. When I see Jim and Brenda Brewer, I may not even get to talk to them, but I'm strengthened. Aren't you? I'm strengthened. Our young people are precious. They are adorable. They are life. Now, parents may not agree with all this, because you may have brats with you this morning, but they are adorable to us, even when they're brats to you. They are life. They are future. They are hope. I love seeing the twins. I love seeing the twins over here. The ones over here are not able to be here this morning. They called, and the roads are bad out Bristow way. But young ones, young mothers, young fathers, it is a struggle, and I remember it. I remember longing for the day when my kids could get in the car and buckle themselves in. Amen. And I long for that day. It was a beautiful day. I love it. And the day they can get in and get out, not get ran over, it's wonderful. And I say that to say, I remember it is difficult getting your kids around. It's for you to come to worship is more difficult because of what you're doing with your children. But you need to know they're beautiful to us. And they encourage us. And we may not talk to you or them that on a given day, but you've encouraged more people than you know. Our children are precious. Our adults in the middle. And that range, depending on who you are, you know, that could be, if I poll, that'd be a big group, because some of you older ones aren't ready to be in the older group. So Janet is still technically in the range of this middle group. The middle group, they are the strength of our family. They're the bridge between the old and the young. They are a combination of ability and wisdom. They're important. They're important to our older ones. They're important to our younger ones. Everyone here is valuable, and togetherness is a gift that we receive, and it is a gift that we give. I want to end with Psalm 122. It says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. The more unified we are, the more exciting it is when we wake up and we realize, you know what, it's Sunday. Or the better it is when it's a Wednesday afternoon, it's hump day, it's the middle of the week, we're tired, but you know what? I'm coming. Because I need my church family. And I'm going to go bless somebody tonight. Togetherness is a gift. Keep praying about this, and may we be, as a church, even more unified in the coming year. We're going to offer an invitation, a song of encouragement. And you may be here this morning with something that your church family doesn't know about, but you'd like to share with us, a burden, something we could encourage you and pray for you about. There may be someone here this morning, and the truth is you're not ready to face God right now. And you want to get right with God. You may want maybe someone who needs to become a Christian this morning. And so if there's something you need, we want to help you with it. If you'd come while we stand and sing.
No God.